morning. It's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast on 88.1 WIPR. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. Frank DeFord has just published his 18th book. It's a memoir called Over Time, My Life as a Sports Writer, in which he looks back on his career as a magazine writer, a screenwriter, a radio commentator, a TV personality, and even a pitchman for beer. He'll be at the Enoch Pratt Library tomorrow night. Last month, I caught up with Frank DeFord when he was in town speaking to students at the Garrison Forest School in Owings Mills. Well, Mr. DeFord, it is great to see you again. Welcome back to the show.
It's always nice to be back in your old hometown.
That's right. This is your hometown indeed. You write in this book, which, by the way, I really, really enjoyed. I really enjoyed it a lot. Each chapter has a little incipit that is a quote from another one of your many books. And in one of them, from a piece you wrote in Sports Illustrated in 1979, you say that over the long haul, the best way to mature is to catch on early and grow up late. Do you think you've done that?
Yeah. That was me talking about me. I thought I was a pretty savvy kid. But by the same token, I was physically slow to grow up. And sort of shy, and so I sort of knew what was going on, but I didn't know how to handle things. So, yeah, so that was me talking about myself.
Mm-hmm. You've helped a lot of other, some notable people write their own memoirs. You've been telling stories for a long time. So I wonder, with this memoir and with this book, what did you hope to accomplish?
First of all, the one thing I didn't want to do was settle any scores. This was no intent to come in and I'm gonna set the record straight.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing I wanted to do was to entertain. I mean, I had a little bit of an axe to grind about sports writing, but I certainly didn't wanna have it be a polemic. And so I sort of scattered that throughout. Beyond that, I wanted to write nice stories about people that I liked, funny stories, and looking back in the past, try to sort of get it straight. I remember the chapter I did on the NBA. I actually start and say, this is for archival reasons, folks, mm-hmm. because you're not going to believe what it was like when there were five people and three of them were secretaries. In the NBA office.
Yeah, in the Empire State Building.
Yeah, right, that's the way it was. And I just sort of wanted to it's almost sort of an oral history. And I remember writing about the match game, which was a game that people played when they had too much to drink in bars, old journalists did. And I said, I may be the last person in the world who knows what the match game is. I'm like one of those Eskimos who's the last person to speak the language. I want to get this down on the record. And so part of it was that, just reminisce.
And that's a great scene. I mean, you've been in front of the public now for nearly 50 years.
Yeah.
You know, both in print and on radio and on television. Are there things, you know, what don't we know about you? Or for that matter, what don't we know about the profession of sports writing?
What you don't know about me is what I don't want you to know about me. I mean, it's not like I've got a whole lot of dark secrets. But this was also one of those things where I was not going to come out and reveal the other side of Frank DeFord that no one knows. Because it really... there really isn't. And the other thing, and this is worth keeping in mind, that I wrote essentially a memoir 30 years ago about my daughter who died of cystic fibrosis.
Right.
So I had done, in many respects, that really close-wrapped memoir about me and mm-hmm. what, you know, and in a way, it would have been very hard to have wrapped that story into this because it would have been so jarring. I obviously mentioned it and so forth, but I didn't go back and talk.
Well, you do. You interpolate it in very interesting ways.
I mean, I do.
And when you talk about Arthur Ashe, when you talk about Jimmy the Greek,
who also lost children to cystic fibrosis.
Yeah.
But the fact that I had written that allowed me, I think, to be a lot more blithe and have a lot more fun this time around.
On 88.1, I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Maryland Morning. I'm here with Frank DeFord. His new book is called Overtime, My Life as a Sports Writer. Mr. DeFord, you say that sports isn't as interesting now as it was in the past, and that sports writers are somewhat irrelevant because of television. So why do you think that?
Well, the reason that sports is not as interesting as it was in the past is not because of the games. They're always going to be great games. They're always going to be pennant races, and some years are going to be better than others, and there's going to be better games. There's going to be great games and seven-game series and all. That's going to happen. But what I meant by that was that in the years that I came into sports, it was changing. Just the fact that women were coming into sports, that was new. There were new leagues, crazy leagues. There were kids young athletes getting free agency. International sports were coming onto the scene. Everything was in turmoil, starting probably with Jackie Robinson in 1946. And today, everything is pretty standard. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty homogenized. The only thing we've...
And the rate of change is certainly much less rapid now. Because you started Sports Illustrated in 1962.
62.
So, yeah.
The other thing is, everybody makes so much money now. I mean, which is fine. Hey, I'm not against the guys making money. The only thing that's really left is for the upheaval in big-time college sports, where I think pretty soon they're going to have to start paying the athletes, and that's going to change. The NCAA, as it presently exists, just can't keep on going. But that's what I meant by things are much more interesting. And we're much more interesting. As far as sports writers being irrelevant, they can't help that. That they used to be the ones who told us about the games.
Yeah, but now everybody can see the games.
Yeah, and now everybody sees the
500 games. 500 channels, yeah.
And so they can't tell you that Jones went up against the left field fence and made a great catch. You saw it. You didn't decide whether it was a great catch or not. I mean, so that has changed, and that's why sports writers, the challenge is greater, but I think the rewards are greater, which is to say they got to work a little harder and go behind the scenes, which I think a lot of them do.
You got some advice from your first boss
at
Sports Illustrated, a man of whom you write very fondly, Andre Laguerre. And he said, it doesn't matter what you write, it matters how well you write. And I'm not asking you this question to butter you up. It may sound like I am, but I'm not, because I have no reason to do that. But I wonder if you are sort of sui generis in the kind of writing and the kind of position that you hold in the world of writing about sports. Is there anybody else doing what you're doing?
Nobody's doing quite what I'm doing. And part of that, to return the compliment, is because of National Public Radio. And the reason I say that is that I have one of those rare opportunities to talk to people about sports who don't necessarily care about sports.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend, a novelist, Mike Mushaw, who says, I think I quote this.
Yeah, it's in the book.
This in the book. He says, you spent so many years, and still do, writing about people who don't read, that is, athletes. And now you speak on the radio to people who don't know what you're talking about.
There's a niche for you.
Is that sui generis? I think so.
Yeah.
But really, that is a tremendous opportunity for me, because it's so unusual, because the sports is usually over in the corner. And so that does set me apart from just about anybody.
Yeah. You have so many different audiences, and the tone of this book I find really, really terrific. It's like the two of us are sitting at the bar and you're telling stories. And I wonder, are you conscious of the different dimensions of the craft of writing when you're writing for print, when you're writing for radio? You talk a little bit about this in the book, but also when you're giving a speech to a live audience that you can see, or if you're on television, you know, to a broadcast audience who can see you as opposed to an NPR audience who can only hear you.
I'm either blessed or cursed by versatility. I know that, and that's always been. Going back, and I mention this in the book, to when I was 10, 11 years old, on the one hand, I'm putting out a little newspaper for my class, on the old mimeograph machine.
Sure.
On the other hand, I've got in the newspaper a serial running, a soap opera. And so I was always sort of torn between journalism and creative writing, which is what we called it then. I've always been, in a way, still don't know who I am. And I think that's what comes across in the book. It's almost like a series of short stories.
Yeah, it is.
You know, because you could put down chapter 8, and chapter 9 doesn't necessarily follow chapter 8.
Right.
It may be an entirely different thing. And that's sort of the way that I am.
But you're also one of the first people to write about athletes, and you talk about this in the book, as people. Rather than the games.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do.
And I was taken in particular, you said, coaches are movies, players are snapshots. And so you always liked writing about the coaches a little more than the players.
Because the players are the good ones. First of all, it's not their fault. They're too young. They've had total success. And now, not only that, they've got money. In the old days, they didn't have money. They've got all the women in the world they want. They got all the cars in the world they want. And not only that, they have grown up now knowing how to handle the press. In the old days, you would meet some star, and he'd be come out of Elkhart, Indiana, or someplace like that. And he wasn't smart enough to know how he was supposed to behave. Now, they grow up from the age of 5. They see how it is that you're supposed to answer. And so they're all programmed and dull. And the only ones you really want to talk to are the broken down guys who've suffered, or the coaches who've grown up. And it's a weird thing about sports.
They've got the real story to tell.
It's a weird thing about sports that the dullest people are the ones that most people want to hear about.
Yeah.
But that's the reality.
Well, there's nothing dull about this book. And Frank DeFord, I really appreciate your taking the time to speak with us.
Well, Tom, thank you very much. I'm glad you liked it.
Frank DeFord, we spoke last month in Owings Mills. You can hear him every Wednesday here on WIPR during Morning Edition, and you can meet him tomorrow night when he'll be discussing his new book at the Enoch Pratt Central Library. The book is Overtime, My Life as a Sports Writer. It's published by Atlantic Monthly Press. We've got links to more information on our website, WIPR.org. Just click on the Maryland Morning link. On 88.1, I'm Tom Hall. It's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. Our resident foodie, Sasha Waldmandler, stops by tomorrow morning for another edition of What You Got Cookin'. We'll see you then. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.